This is Red Red Wine, a Stranger Things fanfic, written by Entangled Now and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for hurt comfort, kissing, first kiss, idiots in love, blood, minor blood kink, dubious wound care, feelings realization. It's a speed run. Summary. Steve has an accident and everyone behaves very normally. But it turns out after 3 years dealing with the upside down, normal is relative. Steve usually tosses any mail the house gets into the drawer by the door. He figures his parents can deal with it all when they come back. If there's anything important or time-sensitive in there, then he guesses tough shit. Maybe they should drop in more often than once every couple of months. Though it's been double that with no word, and he's starting to wonder if they have any intention of coming back at all, or whether they've written Hawkins, and by extension him, off as a loss. Occasionally there's something for him in the pile, though. He has a few magazine subscriptions, the odd letter from work, the expected scatter of junk mail, and the occasional letter from the bank, wondering why he hasn't taken out a loan or signed up for any of their extras for very special customers yet. Steve gathers it all off the mat in the one hand he has spare, half listening to Eddie as he wanders in behind him. He's carrying the rest of the grocery bags from the car, finishing the story he was telling about Gareth knocking down a whole display in a bookstore the last time they went into the city, and vowing to never show his face there again. Steve dumps any mail that's addressed to either of his parents, and is left with one white envelope with his name on it. He has no idea where it's from, he's not expecting anything, and there's no return address on the back. He shoves a finger under the flap and drags it across. Ow, shit! He lifts his hand and frowns at it, knowing immediately that he'd given himself a paper cut, and a damn vicious one at that. It's a stupid little injury when measured against everything else he's had, but it still stings as he watches bright red blood spread out around the curve of the first knuckle. It reaches the edge, clings for a fraction of a second, and then falls to spot the envelope he's still holding. Steve, you okay? Eddie had barely put the bags down and taken his jacket off, but he's at Steve's side in an instant, thumping into the counter next to him and scooting one of the chairs out of the way. His concern is obvious, but a little over the top, considering. Steve gestures with the offending wound. Yeah, dude, I'm fine. Just gave myself a fucking paper cut on the mail. And his fingers curl around his hand, turning it so he can see where the blood is already gathering into droplets, running through the second knuckle and down. The cut itself is a thin red line that spreads and bleeds anew on every poke. And his fingers are warm, the slow tension in his grip strange for a second, until Steve realizes that, aside from Robin, people don't really touch him. He can't actually remember the last time someone did. Ah, that's not so bad. You just need to... The hand Eddie has half crawled around his wrist pulls him forward, lifting at the same time. And before Steve could even register what's happening, Eddie has stuck his bleeding finger in his mouth. He thinks he at least tries to make a sound in reaction to that, even if all that comes out is a cracked puff of air, a disbelieving sort of that lodges in his throat. But Eddie's already curled his tongue around the length of his finger, and he's sucking on it like that's a perfectly normal thing to do. There's a moment where Steve is just existing in his own kitchen, holding an envelope in one hand while Eddie Munson sucks on the bleeding end of his finger. The wet little pulls of his mouth sending quivering pulses of "what the hell?" and "oh," through Steve, in equal measure. He's too surprised to protest. He watches the movement, the slow hollow of cheeks that are still a little pink from outside, the frizz of Eddie's hair drifting against his jaw. Steve can feel how warm he is from the inside, and that seems like something he shouldn't know. He sees the exact moment Eddie actually realizes what he'd done, what he's still doing, separating them with a strange wet sound and backing away with a horrified expression on his face. Stu's hand is still raised in the middle of the kitchen, his injured finger wet and exposed. It's not bleeding, but the soft sting is still there, a tiny throb to the meat of it. He has the brief, insane urge to slip it back in Eddie's half-open mouth, to press the hurt of it to his tongue. And that does a great job of destroying all of his other thoughts. But Eddie's already talking.
I'm sorry, that was fucking weird. I always do that with mine. I don't know why the hell I did that. I didn't think about it, and...
He gestures frantically, and Steve notices for the first time that his lower lip is redder than the top, a bright splash of color to the wetness of it. Which, it slowly occurs to him, is because he just had Steve's blood in his mouth. He thinks that should probably be shocking and more than a little bit disturbing. But instead, he kind of wants to reach over and spread it with his thumb. Maybe push it back between his lips, smear it over his teeth.
What the hell? What the hell? I'm sorry, that was probably really gross to watch.
Steve can't stop looking at his mouth.
It's cool,
he hears himself say numbly, barely feeling the words.
I mean, I gave you mouth-to-mouth when you were literally covered in blood, so it's probably slightly less weird and gross than it could have been.
The memory is suddenly so vivid, he can't shake it. He doesn't even know what he's saying anymore.
Eddie still looks like he doesn't know what to do. Don't worry about it. I should find a band-aid, though, because I'm pretty sure it's still going to bleed over everything if I don't. Yeah, obviously, of course. I'm just going to...
Eddie thumbs frantically behind him, and Steve doesn't know if he's gesturing toward the living room or the front door.
Make some popcorn while I take care of this, would you?
Steve says quickly, trying not to make it sound like a demand, but he knows that the last thing he wants right now is for Eddie to leave. The world feels tilted 90 degrees, and he doesn't think he can fix that by himself. He heads for the bathroom, leaving Eddie and his guilty eyes and his red mouth behind.
Steve's shocked by his own reflection when he gets to the bathroom. His skin is too pale, his eyes too wide, and for a second he has no idea why he's even there.
The world comes back with a buzz, and he knocks half the bottles in the sink looking for band-aids.
It makes no sense, but he keeps replaying the way Eddie's lips had closed around him,
that soft double curve that left him sliding against the wet length of his tongue. The faint blush of red in his mouth, where part of Steve remained.
It's not... It shouldn't make his insides pull in tight and hot. He doesn't feel that way about Eddie.
Only he is staring at his own stupid lying face in the bathroom mirror and watching a house of cards he didn't even know existed slowly collapse in on itself. Steve? Eddie appears behind him in the glass. He'd put his leather jacket back on, as if he plans to leave after all, expression pinched and awful to look at.
How is he the one that looks so guilty when Steve is the one holding a mess of realizations that he'd somehow missed? The leather jacket creaks in the silence of the room, and Eddie is clearly working himself up to words while Steve just stares at him.
Look, I get that you're trying to be nice about this, but let's be honest here. That was fucking weird what I did, and really not cool. So I think it's best if I go.
The throat clearing is too loud, a desperate sort of break in the words that suggests Eddie thinks he's broken something.
We can rain check the movie or not, you know.
His shoulders lift in a shrug, and there's something so defeated in it.
No. No, because Steve knows that if Eddie leaves, then he's going to pack this away and never think about it again. He's going to put it with the rest of the upside-down stuff that he has to crush down just to function, and that box is already straining at the edges. It can't hold anymore.
Steve has never been any good at leaving things for later. He only knows how to do things in the moment. So he turns away from the glass, catching Eddie with a hand half raised. Steve grabs for his forearms, the leather of his jacket stiff under his fingers.
He doesn't miss the flinch, or the way Eddie stiffens up under what's so sudden and so intent it has to feel like fury. I'm sorry, Eddie manages to choke out, but then Steve's pressing him back against the sink, holding him to the hard chill of it, and dipping in to cut the apology off before it could properly form.
It's barely a kiss. It feels too violent for that.
Eddie's reaction is a muffled sound, which turns into a questioning croak of air when they break apart a second later. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
The words come out breathless, and Steve's not sure Eddie even knows what he's saying. He hears the clink of metal against porcelain when he presses in and kisses him again. The last time Steve had put his mouth over Eddie's, it had been cold and still, the wet tang of iron crushed against his teeth when he drew back for a breath, hands pushing down on his chest over and over, Dustin's hitching, drawn-out sobs drowning out everything else. But this time, Eddie's mouth is warm, and he's pressing back into the kiss. The soft, wet sounds they're making together so loud and so obvious in the stillness of the bathroom. Eddie is the one who breathes into Steve this time, and that settles something inside him, leaves him surrounded by the heavy smell of weed, leather, and a familiar citrus-sharp cologne, filling the rough edges of Eddie's jaw. Steve uses his thumb to pull his mouth open wider, to tilt and push and find the heat inside, to chase the memory of his own blood there. Eddie's free hand scrabbles at the sink behind him, rings clanking against it before both hands are lifting in a creak of leather to hold Steve's face, thumbs pressing into his cheeks, and the kiss flows back the other way. Steve feels the pressure, the messy desperation of it, and he hasn't kissed anyone this deeply for years. He feels the vibration from the whine Eddie gives and pushes a hand into his hair, finds where it's soft and dry and tangled and far too easy to bury his fingers in. He didn't know how long he'd wanted to touch until now. Didn't know that Eddie would let him. He closes his hand into a fist. It's greedy and instinctive, but the pull separates them with a gasp. It leaves Eddie's head tilted back. He looks dazed, not even trying to fight Steve's hold.
Steve, are you serious? Uh-huh, yeah, Steve says, which feels too easy of an answer to such a huge question.
The hand he's holding Eddie's face with is bleeding again, and there's a streak of bright red on his cheek, a smear of it lower where Steve had needed to get into his mouth. He rubs at it, watches it spread on Eddie's pale skin, and it feels wrong right in a way he can't untangle. His thumb has reached the curve of Eddie's lower lip, and Steve watches his eyes fall shut and his mouth drop open wider. He can't hold the sound he makes, because that feels like an offer, has him slipping his thumb inside while his own mouth finds the plane of Eddie's cheek, presses there, over and over when lips close around him, clamped down with shuddery wet suction. "I don't know what I'm doing," Steve manages, into the curls of Eddie's hair, the soft secret space of his ear that he never gets to see. "I think you fucking broke me, man." It's true. It's true. He is so turned on he can feel the rattle of it every time he moves. There's a wet laugh from Eddie, then as Steve sliding his thumb free, putting his mouth back where he needs it to be. Eddie opens for him without coaxing this time. He meets the force of it. He takes everything Steve gives him, the soft sting of his still open cut, dragging in Eddie's hair.
Steve.
The sound of his name is muffled.
"I think our first kiss messed me up," Steve admits. "And maybe I needed a second one to tell me why."
Eddie blinks, shaking his head a little as if he doesn't understand what Steve's saying. There's color in his cheeks, and his eyes are huge and dark. He drags a tongue over his lower lip, and Steve can't help tracing its path with his fingers right after, feeling the groan that shivers out over them.
"What?"
Eddie sounds confused, but his hands are fisted in Steve's shirt, a determination to keep him even if he understands nothing.
"In the Upside Down," Steve says thickly. "There was blood everywhere, and it was all I could taste, and I thought we were going to have to leave you there, which was messed up because you were one of us. Even though it wasn't your fault, you were one of ours. You were one of mine."
He's been speaking too long without a breath, and the inhale shakes into him.
"And maybe I just now realized how much I meant it when you stuck my bleeding finger in your mouth like it was nothing."
Steve's pretty sure that sounds insane.
But in his head, it's so simple. Everything they've been through, feeling as if they're all extensions of each other, wanting to feel their hurts like his own. He gets it now.
"Jesus Christ."
Eddie leans back against the sink, fingertips digging at Steve's waist, until he lifts both hands to pull them through his hair, sending it flying in every direction, bangs left stuck up at an odd angle.
"Okay, yeah."
Eddie breaks for a laugh, eyes fixed on Steve's face.
"I don't know if I'm reading this right or whether you're having some sort of breakdown, but Steve, I'm pretty sure I was yours the moment you carried me out of an alternate dimension with my insides torn out. I just didn't think there was any chance you'd want to be."
He waves a hand frantically between them, and Steve hears the
"mine."
Here's the word that Eddie's afraid to say.
"So whatever you're freaking out about, assume that I've already said yes. Assume I want the same thing you do."
Steve's heart is still pounding in his chest, but he finds he's dropped his forehead to rest against Eddie's.
Something that had coiled up tight and panicked inside him, slowly easing.
After a moment, there are hands in his hair, rings clinking gently as Eddie tries to finger comb it into some sort of order.
Which he feels all the way down in his bones. Eddie trying to put him together again. Eddie knowing how. You don't go through the end of the world with someone and just not have a crisis over them, you know?
Steve laughs and leans back far enough to look at him, thumb rubbing at the smear of red still on Eddie's cheek, feeling the way he leans into the contact. The way the blood doesn't bother him, not tacky and warm from Steve's veins.
"It took me a little while to catch up," Steve says, feeling strangely light and a little broken, but maybe in a good way,
maybe in a way that volcanoes need to be to let the pressure out.
So, yeah. Do you want to go out with me sometime? Eddie's nodding frantically and then laughing a touch hysterically.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, anytime, anywhere, Steve.
The end.